Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, yes, it is. It is Palm Sunday. It's Palm Sunday around the world, and it's Palm Sunday, obviously, here today as well. And this is the day when Christians remember that Jesus rode triumphantly into Jerusalem, not to ascend to a heavenly throne or an earthly throne, but to begin that journey of journeys, that journey to the cross, a journey to the tomb, a journey to the resurrection from the dead, the journey to the ascension to the right hand of the Father, and all of those together poured out eternal life into a world that was full of death and destruction. So today, yes, today, we lift up our palm branches, won't you, please? Lift up your palm branches right now. We do this as a sign of faith and trust in Jesus Christ because he rode into that town, he rode into that predicament just for you. We can put him down now if you wish. Now, let me give you a glimpse of what was coming Jesus' way. Today we begin Holy Week, of course. This is where we hear what happened not only on Sunday, but also on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Good Friday, of course, and Easter Sunday. It's a week of confrontations for Jesus against false teachers. There's political hacks, there's corrupt trials, there's brutal beatings, and of course, then mob rule. But Jesus enters into Jerusalem willingly. And he enters in literally through blood, sweat, and tears. And what happened to Jesus Christ this week literally changed the world. The benefits of Jesus and what he endured, accomplished during this week of Holy Week, this passion that he gave for us, continues to change people's lives even today. So our gospel text from Matthew 21, we hear about Jesus coming. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, behold, your King is coming to you humble and mounted on a donkey. You know, for the entrance of a king into a city, I was thinking, you know, you think there'd be a more grandiose scene. Where's the army behind this king? He's on a donkey? Where's the armor-plated war horse? I mean, it's not very impressive the way Jesus entered into the city. I mean, for a human race in which might makes right, it seems, Jesus' humble entry into Jerusalem, mounted on that foal of a donkey, that borrowed donkey at that, for many in the crowd that day, it looked like a mockery of the expected power and might of the coming Messiah. Because kings don't ride in on a donkey, at least kings of the earth don't. And they don't ride into a city without an army behind them. At least earthly kings don't. But when it comes to the King of the universe, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, it's a good thing that he didn't come in a display of power and might. So let me say, take comfort, dear friends, to know that your King entered into the city in humility on a donkey, for this is the only way that he could come to us and save us. Jesus rode into the city. He fulfilled what was foretold by the prophets. We read that in Zechariah from our Old Testament reading. It's going to pop up on the screen for you again. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your King is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And that day so long ago, many cheered him on. And there were many in that day that believed that God's Messiah has come to them, and they knew that he, this Jesus, was the one. Some, however, had faulty notions of who he was. They believed that he was going to come into town, that he was going to set up shop in the palace, you know, the Messiah president, the Messiah governor, even the Messiah Caesar. But Jesus put to rest all of that nonsense. He was the Messiah. He was the Savior of a kingdom, dear friends, that would be forever and ever and ever. And that's what the Apostle Paul was leading us into in our reading from Philippians today. He is talking about a whole different kind of reality, a whole different kind of mindset, the one that comes from Christ Jesus alone. Paul says, are you ready? He says on the screen, have this mind in you which is in Christ Jesus. The power of God that comes through humility. Paul also says, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. So, dear friends, if you want to know God, and you want to know the things of God, don't look to the power brokers of the world. They don't last. Don't look to the wisdom of the world. It can't solve the big questions of life, and it never will. Don't even look to your own best efforts and your own strength, for in the end, right, we are all weak and we're all heavy laden in this world. Let me say, look to the strength of a Savior who is humble. One who rides not in town on a stallion, a tank, or an F-16, he comes on a humble donkey. And why did he do that? Because Satan, the world, and our sinful nature would have made mincemeat out of all of that. As I said, only a Savior riding in on a donkey can overcome sin, death, and the power of the devil with a resurrection life for all. Get inspired today, I hope. Because have this mindset among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So let me switch gears a little bit and ask a question. Why do you suppose Jesus entered in on a donkey to the holy city of Jerusalem? Why did he ride in on a beast of burden, an animal of peace, not on an armored stallion? Well, he did so because he was coming to the people of Jerusalem not to conquer them. He came into Jerusalem to be killed by them. He rode into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday to prepare for Good Friday. He went into the city a final time, into Jerusalem, to die. For the people of Jerusalem, who were the daughter of Zion, but they didn't receive him, they didn't believe in him, instead, they would kill him. But what a comfort that is for us, dear Christians, to know this is the way in which the Lord comes to his people. He comes to his own. And he did this not to, and his own, he did not receive him, excuse me. His people didn't receive him. They didn't believe in him. But he didn't punish them. He didn't punish them right on the spot for their rejection. He didn't summon fire and brimstone down on Jerusalem like he did with Sodom and Gomorrah. No, he didn't. Christ Jesus, true God and true man, he wept for Jerusalem as he entered in that day. The Lamb of God who came to his people to redeem them instead lamented, he cried, he wept. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. You know, it's a good thing that Jesus still comes to us according to his grace. His humility, his mercy. If he were as impatient as you and I were, well, he probably would have gotten tired of coming to his people and being greeted with sin. He would have stopped coming to his people on earth according to his grace. He would have come in judgment a long time ago if he's had our patience. Isn't it a good thing that he continues to come to his people, us in grace and mercy? Because if he dealt with us according to our deeds and according to our hearts, we'd all be in serious trouble. But the Lord God did not immediately destroy the city of Jerusalem for the rejection of the king himself, but the city was eventually annihilated by the Romans. And it's written that it was completely destructed, so completely, Jerusalem, that there was not one stone upon another. And yet, the Lord doesn't visit that same destruction upon you and me today. It's a good thing that the Lord came to his people and comes to us, because, dear friends, we know we'd never come to him. We'd never seek him. We'd never open our hearts up to him. Our own hearts condemn us, because we have God's perfect law written upon our hearts, and the perfect law shows our sin and the fruits that follow them. We also know the scriptures, and the scripture says that sin merits nothing but death and eternal punishment. But you see, God doesn't chastise with a lightning bolt. He doesn't execute swift justice. Nor does he come to unrepentant sinners with immediate destruction and death. The Lord comes and speaks to this world continually. And how does he do it? Love, patience, promise of forgiveness. And I'm thinking, how comforting is that, to realize the predicament that we're in, despite our best efforts to be God-pleasing people? God doesn't come to you, dear Christian, to give you what you deserve. God comes to you and gives you what you don't deserve: full pardon and forgiveness of all your sins. You see, he entered in Jerusalem that day on that Palm Sunday, and he did it for you. He did it for me. He went there one final time as the Lamb of God to be crucified and have his blood shed for the sins of the world, including all of ours. Your king came into the city. He was delivered into the hands of men to be crucified so that he wouldn't have to come to you and me in righteous wrath and justice. Having made this full atonement for our sins, having paid the price, he now comes to you again in peace and in forgiveness and love and grace and mercy. Because you are justified by faith, you now have peace with God through your Lord Jesus Christ. He has saved you by grace, and he comes to you through his grace continually. He rode into Jerusalem on the most humble animal, a borrowed donkey, a colt, not in a show of triumph and splendor. He comes to you every Lord's Day, just like you're sitting here today. He comes to you on this glorious day, but he doesn't come to you in an emotional frenzy of excitement during the worship service. But he comes to you in very humble means. He comes to you through his words, through bread, through wine, through water. Very humble means. Who would have thought that a carpenter riding in on a donkey so long ago would be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? Well, he was. And who would think that God would attach his saving word of promise to water, of all things, for the forgiveness of sins and for the washing of regeneration of the soul? Well, he does in baptism. Who would think that God would deliver his word through a simple broken pastor like this guy standing before you and so many other, a human, instead of thundering his word down from heaven above? Yet he promises to do so for you, just like he gave the disciples and the apostles long ago the authority to forgive sins for those who are repentant and to retain sins to those who are impenitent, when he told Peter to feed my sheep. Who would have thought that after Jesus' bodily ascension into heaven, that he would still come to you and be truly present with you unto the end of the age, as he promised? Well, he does. He gives you his holy body and his precious blood and a tiny wafer of bread and a little sip of wine. For just as the believers so long ago were rejoicing at the entry of their king to save them, so also do we, the church, we rejoice at her king's coming to us through the Lord's Supper as ordinary and as unimpressive as it may look from the eyes of our head, week after week after week, there's never been anything especially impressive in the ways that Jesus comes to his people, at least not by worldly standards. But he never had impressions, our impressions, in his mind. See, he came to his people under the most humble circumstances and in the most humble way to save them, to save us. He comes to us through his humble chosen means. And he promises to be with you according to those humble means, grace and mercy, until he comes again. And only then will he come in power and might. Until then, he comes in very humble means. Rejoice, therefore, O daughter of Zion. Give thanks to the Lord for coming to you in the way he does, and lift up your hearts. And for me, and I hope for you too, that picture sees through us through the struggles that still remain on this side of heaven. But you see, through the strength of the Savior, we have a whole eternity that still awaits us. On the screen, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the heaven, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And may this be your certain hope, to know that your King has come to you today and will continue to come to you tomorrow, next month, next year, forevermore. Let us do this. Let us lift our palm branches as a sign of our faith, as a sign of our trust in Jesus Christ, because today he comes to you, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.